Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Chaf Tet. Today's daf has been sponsored again by Katz Judaica on King's Highway. The former Sisu, King's Highway and E7th. We ask all our listeners to please patronize all our sponsors. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Chacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. We are beginning on Kuf Chaf Chet Amud Bet, and we are going to start three lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Haya, a lady that just gave birth, Kol Zeman Shehakever Patuach, so long as her womb is still opened, Ben Amrat Siricha Ani, Ben Lo Amrat Siricha Ani, Mechalelin Alea Et HaShabbat. So long as the womb is opened, so she is in danger. And therefore, whether she asks for something, for example, on Shabbat that's necessary to make Halul Shabbat, or even if she doesn't ask for something, but her friends deem it necessary to give her something in order to relieve her, even if it entails Halul Shabbat. So the Gemara says over here, you are Mechalel Shabbat. So again, I read, whether she said I need something, whether she didn't say anything, mechalelin aleha et haShabbat. Nistama kever, but once the womb of the lady closed, ben amrat siricha ani. Whether she says I need something, ben lo amrat siricha ani, or whether she didn't say anything, אין מחללין עליה את השבת. רב אשה מתנה החה. That's the way רב אשה understands. מורזוטרא מתנה החה. However, מורזוטרא has a more lenient way of understanding these הדחות. אמר רב יהודה אמר שמואל, חיה, a lady that just gave birth, כל זמן שהקבר פתוח, בן אמרה צריכה אני. Whether she said, I need something. Uben amra en siricha ani. Or if she said, I don't need. Now this is different than the first opinion. The first opinion is she didn't say anything. Here she's going out of her way and saying, I don't need anything. I don't need the Halul Shabbat to take place. It's not necessary. Still this opinion says, Mechalelin aleha et haShabbat. Still, you desecrate the Shabbat. So that's the first leniency of the second view. Nistama kever, now, if the womb closed up, amrat siricha ani mehalelin aleha Shabbat. Still, if she says, I need something, you are mehalel Shabbat. Again, that's different than the first opinion. The first opinion said, once the womb closes, then already whether she says siricha ani or not, you don't mehalel Shabbat. Now, lo amrat siricha ani, if she didn't say anything, so now the question is, which of the two opinions do we go like? So the Gemara says, Amar l'Ravina de Moremor, Morzutra mati lekula. Morzutra's second version is lenient. V'Rav Ashe matne lechumra. Rav Ashe's first version is strict. Hilcheta keman. Who does the halakha follow? Amar le halakha kemorzutra. Halakha follows the lenient opinion of Morzutra. Why? Safek nefashot lakel. When it comes to a person's life, endangerment of a person's life, so we take the lenient opinion. And therefore, even after the womb closes, and she says, Siricha ani, you help her even if it entails Halul Shabbat. And when the womb is open, even if she says, I don't need, still, you mechalel Shabbat if her friends deem it necessary that she does need the refuah. Now the Gemara asks, Me'ematai petichat hakever. When does the womb open? Which is a lady giving birth. From what point is it considered petichat hakever, that the womb is indeed opened? Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Mishaat teshev al hamashber. Once she starts to sit on the birthing stool, then already the assumption is the kever is opened. Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua amar mishaas shehadam shotet veyored. Rav Yoshua says from the time that she starts to bleed and the blood starts to ooze down. Ve'amri lan, some say mishaas shehavruteha nosot ota be'agapeha. She's from the time that she cannot walk anymore on her own accord, and her friends need to carry her by putting their hands under her arms. So therefore, that's already, the womb must be opened already. So three opinions, all three opinions can be true, depending on the lady's pattern. Sometimes they bleed first, or sometimes they go on the birthing stool first, and sometimes they can't walk. So each one can be a proper discerning point to know when the kever, when the womb is open. Now the question is, ad matai petihat hakever? How long does the womb stay open? Amar Abaye shlosha yamim. So Abaye says 3 days. Rava amar mishemed Rav Yehuda shiva. Second opinion, 7 days. Ve'amri lan, some say shiloshim, and some say 30 days. So we have a three-way machloket. How long the womb stays open? Amre nehar de'ayah. But now we give the opinion of the rabbis of nehar de'ayah, which is the halakha. Chaya, when it comes to a lady that gives birth, there are three specific times that you have to know. Shlosha, shiva, ve'lamid. Meaning, from the time she gives birth till day three, that's one period. From day three to day seven, and then from day seven to day 30. Each time frame has its specific halachot. And the Gemara says, Shalosha, the first 3 days, Ben Amra Tzricha Ani. Whether she says, I need, or Ben Amra Lo Tzricha Ani, or whether she says, I don't need, Mehalelin Aliyat Shabbat. So we see over here that the first 3 days after childbirth, the lady is clearly in sakana. It's considered pikuach nefesh, and therefore we can mehalel Shabbat for her under all circumstances. Zayin, from 3 to 7, amrat siricha ani mehalin maliat Shabbat. If she says she needs something, you can make halul Shabbat for her. Amra lo siricha ani, but if she says I don't need, in mehalin maliat Shabbat. Lamed, meaning from 7 to 30, afilu amrat sirichani, even if she says, I need something, en mehalerin alea et Shabbat, then already we cannot mehaler Shabbat. So it seems, right away, once she passes a week, meaning from 7 to 30, she's out of sakana, and therefore we do not mehaler Shabbat. Now, the Gemara says, aval, Osin al yedeh armai. However, you're allowed to do her needs through a Gentile, which means on Shabbat, if she needs something, while the Jew cannot mehalel the Shabbat, but since she is still considered a chole, she'en bo sakana. She's considered someone that's sick, that's not in mortal danger, so the goy is allowed to do the melacha. Kederav ula bere derav ilai. The rabbi said, "Kol tzorche chode, all the needs of a sick person that is not in danger, naasin al yedeh armai, can be done through a Gentile b'Shabbat on Shabbat." Uchdra v'menuna, d'amar v'menuna, davar she'en bo sakana. Again, the person is not in danger. Omer lenochri ve'ose. You'll have to tell the Gentile, and he can do it for you on Shabbat. New point. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, made a statement. Lehaya lamid yom.
which means regarding a lady that gave birth 30 days. So the Gemara says, Lemay hilcheta. What was the halakha that was meant by this statement, that the haya is 30 days? Actually, we just learned that the Nehardah rabbis taught us that up to 30 days she's considered sick. But now we have a new statement. The statement said 30 days for a lady that gave birth. So the Gemara says, what's the halakhic ramification? So the Gemara says, Amre Nehardah litvila. This is regarding tevila, meaning going to the mikveh. The Gemara is giving advice that a lady that just gave birth should not go to the mikveh within the first 30 days. Why? Because it's cold. And the cold mikveh is going to cause her sakana. And therefore, that's the halakha. 30 days, don't go to the mikveh. Amar Rava. Rava taught, Lo amaran ela she'en ba'ala ima. That's only talking that her husband is not with her. Aval ba'ala imma, ba'ala mechamema. But if her husband is with her, the husband will warm her up, as she says, after the tevila with tashmish, and therefore her body will warm up, and therefore it's okay. Ki ha dibarte de Rav Chisda. Like the story happened with the daughter of Rav Chisda. The daughter of Rav Chisda was married to Rava. Tavla, she went to the mikveh begot taltin yomin. She went within 30 days after giving birth. Shelo b'fnei ba'ala. But Rava was not there. Rava was in Pumpedita. He was in a different city. But she still went to the mikveh ve'etzteniat. And she got sick. She got cold. The amtu le'arsab. So they brought her bed. Batre de Rava le Pumpedita. They carried her in a bed to Pumpedita, to where her husband was, in order that he should warm her. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Osin Midura lechaya b'Shabbat. It is permissible on Shabbat to make a fire for a lady that just gave birth on Shabbat. Now there's different ways of understanding this. Someone is saying we're talking within the first 3 days. So that's obvious. First 3 days, we said, sekanat nefashot, and therefore obviously you'd be able to make a fire for her. Others want to say that the chidush over here of Shemuel is that this is talking even within the first 30 days. Even though we just told you that in the first 30 days, meaning from 7 to 30, she's really not considered besakana. And therefore you can only do things al yedei goy, but when it comes to cold, she is still in sakana for that. And therefore cold is different than other things, and therefore a fire can even be made by a Jew. That's the chidush of Shemuel, that while other things the lady that just gave birth can only be done by a goy, but a midura, a fire, can actually be done by a Yehudi. Comes the Gemara and says, Savur mineh, the rabbis thought, Lechaya'in, lo, that this is only said by a lady that just gave birth. But by a regular sick person, no. Meaning, if you're learning that, what? That this is talking about within 30 days, yeah, a special dispensation was made for a lady that just gave birth, even though she's a Chodesh Embo Sakana, to make a fire for her, a Jew. However, for a regular sick person, that's not in Sekana, we don't make this dispensation in order to let a Jew light a fire. And if you want to learn according to the opinion that says it was in 3 days where she had Sekana, so we'll say that only applies to a Chaya, but a Chole Sheyesh Bo Sekana, we do not make a fire for them on Shabbat through a Jew. We put clothes on them, put quilts and blankets on them. There's ways out. Furthermore, so the rabbi held that what? This only applies to a lady that gave birth, but not to a sick person. And lo bimot geshamim in bimot hama lo. And this only applied in the winter months where it's cold, but not in the summer months. Skip the parentheses. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Shemuel hekiz dam. If a person let blood, In the olden days, it was very common as a medical procedure to go to blood letters. The blood letter would lance a little hole in the flesh and cause some blood to be released. So the Gemara now is going to discuss different laws and different practices regarding bloodletting. So the Gemara says, Hekiz dam, if a person let blood, v'nitztanin, and then he became cold as a result of it, osin lo medura, you're able to make for him a fire, afilu betkufat tamuz, even in the summer, which means it seems that he is in sekana, and therefore even in the summer months where it's hot, it is permissible to make the fire. Gemara says, Shemuel, tsalhu le tachatka v'sha'aga. Gemara says that Shemuel let some blood, and they did not find any wood for him to make a fire. So what they did is, they took a very expensive chair that is made out of, as she says, the tidhar wood, which is very expensive, and they took the chair and broke it and used it as wood in order to make the fire. Rav Yehuda, tsalhu le patora de yona. When it came to Rav Yehuda, they broke the table of the yona wood, which was also expensive, in order to make the fire after he let blood. Le rava, tsalhu le sharshifa. They broke the bench to use it for the fire. The amar le abaye le rabba, so abaye tells rabba, veha ka'avar mor mishum bal tashrit. What do you mean? How could you break the bench? It's destructive. And the Torah tells us, we're not allowed to arbitrarily go and destroy things. How could you go destroy the bench? Amar le answered him back, bal tashrit de gufai adif. The destruction of my body is more of a concern, which means my body precedes the bench. And therefore, obviously he needed the heat, because he had the process of akaza, so he allowed himself to take care of his body at the expense of the bench. Amar Rav Yehuda, Adifli, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Le'olam Yimkor Adam Korot Beto. A person should even be willing to sell the beams of his house, v'yikach min alayim l'raglav, to buy shoes for his feet. Which means the Gemara is telling you the value of shoes. As she says, because a person who goes in the marketplace without shoes is very degrading and very shameful. It's embarrassing. And therefore, do anything to buy a pair of shoes. But the Gemara says, Hekiz dam, if you just let some blood, ve'en lo ma yochal, and you don't have anything to eat, yimkor min alayim shebiraglav, sell the shoes off your feet, v'yaspik me'en tzorche se'uda, in order to buy the needs for the se'uda. Mai tzorche se'uda, what is the needs of a se'uda after a kaza? Rav amar basar, Rav says you have to have meat. Ushmuel amar yayin. Shmuel says wine. Rav amar basar. Rav says basar. What's the logic? Nafsha halaf nafsha. Life instead of life. Meaning when a person gives his blood, he's giving his life. By eating basar, which comes from from an animal that had life, so the life replaces life. Ushmuel amar yayin. Shmuel says wine. Sumka, halaf sumka. The red wine replaces the red blood. And the Gemara continues, Shemuel, biyoma de'avar milta. Shemuel, on the day that he would let blood, avde le tavshila de tahle. They would make for him a dish of spleen. And the spleen of a person has a lot of blood, and therefore he would eat the spleen in order to replenish that blood. Rabbi Yochanan shate. Rabbi Yochanan drank so much wine. Ad denafik tiha meune, until the smell of the wine was coming out of his ears. Rav Nachman shate. Rav Nachman drank so much wine. Ad dekafe tahne, until his spleen in his body was floating in wine, meaning his internal organ was floating in wine. Rav Yosef shate ad denafik merivda dekusilta. It says that Rav Yosef drank enough wine that the wine was coming out of the lance that the bloodletter made to take out the blood. Of course, these things are said in exaggeration, but to show us how they ate and drank after the process. Rabba mehader ahamra bar tilta tarfe. So the way the Mefarshim explained this, Rabba was careful after bloodletting to find wine that was aged 3 years old, which means after the vine was picked, the grapes were aged 3 years, and then he would make the wine from it. Amar lehu Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak l'Rabbanan. The Gemara says that Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak told his students, "Bematuta minaychu, please, with your permission, beyomad dehakaza, on the day that you bloodlet, imru lebitaychu, tell your wives, Nachman ikla legaban, tell them as if Rav Nachman is coming for dinner, which means let them prepare a dinner for you as if I was coming." Which means if the rabbi comes for dinner, obviously the wife is going to make a respectable spread. So the rabbi was saying, on the day that you do hakazah, tell your wives to prepare a meal as if Rav Nachman was coming over to enjoy. So Gemara now gives a rule. V'chulehu a'irume asire. Generally speaking, it is forbidden to trick, especially regarding business. However, bar mehay arama deshari. Except for this harama, for this trick, it is permissible. What trick? The Gemara is going to say it now. Man da'avid milta. Let's say a person let blood. Velo efshar le, but he doesn't have food. He doesn't have what to drink. So he needs to get wine, but he doesn't have money. So the Gemara says, Lishkol zuza maka. Let him take a zuz, a coin, that really is not accepted so much in the marketplace. It's a worn out coin. In the olden days, they really didn't accept it. It had some value, but most of the merchants did not accept such coins. Find a coin like that. Velizil leshav hanuta. Go to 7 wine stores. Now, the custom was in the wine stores, before you purchase wine, they give you a sample. They give you the taste. So therefore, the Gemara says, let him go to 7 wine stores. Tell him he's interested in buying a bottle of wine, but he wants to taste it first. They'll give him to drink. After he'll say, okay, I want to buy the wine, I'll take out the coin. The Hanvani is going to say, well, we don't accept this coin over here, get out of here. I'll go to the next place. Okay, I like to buy this wine. He'll sample it. After he samples it, he'll say, I want to buy. Now, the reason why it's not considered outright thievery is because the coin does have value. I mean, it is a worth it. It's just that it's really not accepted. If the merchant wants to accept it, he can accept it. So they're telling you, really, normally you cannot do this trick. But in this case over here, he can. The Gemara says, add the time, shi'ur, divi'ata. Go to enough stores until he drinks it, if you eat the wine, and that already is enough. V'ilo. Gemara says, if he doesn't even have the coin to do this, v'ichul shav tamre uchmeta. Let him eat 7 blackened dates, v'lishuf mishcha b'sidae, and let him place some oil on his temples, v'nigne b'shimsha, and let him lie out in the sun.
seems the sun for this is medicinal. Ablat was a Gentile who was a stargazer. So the Gemara says, Ashkechel Shemuel Degane B'Shemsha. He saw one day Shemuel was lying out in the sun. Amarle, so Abla tells him, Hakima Dihudae, said the smart Hakam of the Jews, Shemuel, Bisha Mihavet Aba, does something bad have something good? Meaning, the sun is bad for you. The sun is not good. And even in the olden days, they understood the dangers of the sun. So Ablat says to Shemuel, what are you lying in the sun for? You're so smart. It's detrimental. So Gemara says, Amar le yomad hakazahava. He told them, listen, I just came back from bloodletting. And therefore, you know, for bloodletting, it is healing. The Gemara says, Velahi. That really wasn't the reason why Shemuel was in the sun. We're just giving an excuse to Ablat. Ela ika yomad ma'ale bashimsha bechule shata. There is one day a year where the sun is indeed beneficial. When is that? Yomad naflabe tekufat Tammuz. When the tekufa, when the solstice of Tammuz begins, which is like the summer, so that day, that the sun is medicinal and they're healing. So therefore, Shemuel knew that. So he went out specifically on that day. However, v'savar lo iglele. But he didn't want to tell Ablat the secret over here of the benefit. So therefore, he gave him a different excuse. Gemara continues. Rav Ushmoel de Amre Tarvayu. Rav and Shmuel both taught. Kol amekel b'se'udat kazat dam. Anybody that's negligent or lenient by not eating a se'uda after he lets blood, mekilin lo mezonotav min hashamayim. So God is lenient, meaning does not provide him with his sustenance, with his parnasa, with the mezonot. What's the logic? The Omrim, they say in the heavens, Hu al hayav lo chas. The man is not compassionate on his own life. And he, Ahus Adav, I should have mercy. He doesn't eat after Hakazah, meaning he doesn't care about his own health. God says, I'm going to be concerned about his situation. Rav Ushmuel damit alvayu. Hayman David milta. If a person let blood, lo litiv, he should not sit. Hecha decharich zika. He shouldn't sit by a window where the wind is swirling. Why? Dilma shafele omana. Maybe the bloodletter is going to empty him out. Umokim le arbiata. Which means the Gemara says the minimum amount of blood that a person can exist with is a revi'it. A revi'it of blood. So the concern is that maybe the bloodletter took out so much blood and he just left him with the minimum. Now by sitting by the wind is going to dry up some of that blood, and therefore chas v'shalom it could be sakana. So the Gemara says, Ve'atezika, the wind will come, three lines from the bottom, Ve'sha'if mineh, it's going to draw it. Actually, some of the Mefashim learn, it's going to draw the blood away from the vital organs of the body, and therefore it's going to put him in danger. Ve'atelideh sakana. Shemuel, Havad agil, Shemuel was accustomed, Ve'avad milta, he used to let blood, Bebeta, in a house, Deshav levina ve'ariha, that the wall of the house was so thick, it was 7.5 bricks thick. Now a levina, that she tells us, is 3 tefachim in width. An ariha is 0.5 a brick. So that's 1.5 tefachim thick. So he had 7.5 bricks. So 7 times 3 is 21, plus
another half, which is one half, so 22 and a half tefahim thick were the walls of the house that Shmuel did his hakazah. It seems he wanted to have it insulated so no wind will come through. Yomach hada, one day, avad, he did the bloodletting, ve'argish b'nafsheh, but he felt weak. Badak, so he checked the thickness of the walls of the house, ve'chaser had ariha, and he saw that half a brick was missing, one and a half tefahim was missing, and already Shmuel was able to feel the difference. Rabu Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayu. Rav and Shmuel both taught, Hayman David Milta, a person who lets blood, Litom Mide, let him taste something, the Hadar Lipuk, and then he can go out. De'ilotayim Mide, so if he goes right out after the procedure, without tasting something, Ipaga b'shechba, if he meets a dead body, yarka ape, his face will turn green. Ipaga b'man dekatal nafsha, and if he meets a murderer, somebody that killed somebody, meat, he will die. Ipaga b'davar acher, or if he meets up with a swine, with a pig, that'll cause him to have davar acher, which Rashi says is leprosy. And Gemara says that the pigs are known to have all sorts of diseases. The Gemara Kiddushin says that 10 measures of disease came down to the world, and the pigs took 9 of them. And therefore, Gemara says one should eat first before he goes out to the street. Gemara continues, Rav Ushmer Damri Tarvayu, Hai Man David Milta. If a person, again, let blood, Lishe Purta, he should sit for a minute. He should rest temporarily a little, the Hadar Likum, and then rise up. The Amar Mor, because we have a statement, Hamisha Devarim, there are 5 things, Kerovim Lemita Yoter Menachayim, that bring a person closer to death than life. What are these 5 things? The Eluhin, these are them. Achal Ve'amad, if a person eats and immediately gets up, Shata Ve'amad, or he drank and immediately gets up, fast, suddenly, Yashan Ve'amad, or if a person was sleeping, and when he wakes up, he immediately jumps out of the bed, Hekiz Dam Ve'amad, or if a person let blood and immediately got up, Shimesh Mitato Ve'amad, a person had relations and immediately jumped up. All these things, the Gemara says, are dangerous. Amar Shemuel, Pursa de Dama, the time that a person should let blood, Kol Teltin Yomin, every 30 days one should let blood. Uben Aperakim Yema'et, between the times he should minimize. That she says, what is this ben aperakim? He says, from the age of 40, he should start to minimize. Instead of once a month, he should do it once every 2 months. Uben aperakim, and then again at the next stage of life, meaning at the age of 60, yazor v'yima'et, he should minimize the procedure and do it once every 3 months. So as the person gets older, he minimizes the procedure. The reason why that she says this is because he doesn't have the strength, and his blood is not as hot as it was when he was young, and when he lets blood, he's going to become cold, and therefore it can be dangerous for him. So therefore, the older he gets, the less he does. Ve'amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught, Pursa de Dama, the time for letting blood, had b'shabeta, on Sundays, arba'a, that's on Wednesdays, uma'ale shabeta, and on Fridays. Those are the days appropriate for bloodletting. Aval sheni v'chamishi lo. Mondays and Thursdays, no. De'amar mor, mi shiyesh lo zechut avot. Only a guy that has zechut avot, yakiz dam b'sheni u'b'chamishi. He needs a zechut to do it on Monday and Thursday. Why? Shebet din shel ma'ala v'shel mata shavin ke'ehad. Which means, we know that Ezra Sofer made a takana that Beit Din should sit on Mondays and Thursdays. Which means, on earth, that's the day of Beit Din. Now, in Shamayim, they follow the lead of what happens on earth. So since Monday and Thursdays are days of judgment, so in heaven, Mondays and Thursdays are days of judgment as well. If a person is going to let blood, so now he's being judged at that moment. I mean, does he have the zechut to withstand this procedure? Therefore, unless you have a zechut avot, do not take the procedure on Monday and Thursday, because you're going to subject yourself to judgment, and you might not be worthy, and chas v'shalom it could be sekana. Now the Gemara says, betlata b'shabeta, on Tuesdays, mai ta'ama lo. What's the reason why a person should not let blood on Tuesdays? Mishum dekai male ma'adin bezuve. The Gemara says because the constellation Mars, or the planet Mars, is on an even hour. Now to understand this, we must read the Rashi, so you get a little understanding of how the planets work. So that she, we start, Dibura Matril, the Kaimale Ma'adin Bezuve. Now, Shemazal Ma'adin, the constellation Ma'adin, Ma'adin is Mars. Mishamesh Bo Bisha'ot Zugot. On Tuesday, Mars's influence is on the even hour. Now the Gemara tells us in another place that things that happen on the even hour are dangerous. And therefore, since Mars's influence is on the even hour of Tuesday, and we know that, that she says, Mazal Ma'adim, the influence or the constellation of Mars, Mimune Alachirev, it's, Ma'adim is red, the red planet. That talks about blood. And it's the sword. V'aladeber v'alapur aniyut. It's all bad things. V'azugot kashin. And the even hours are also hard. She'en deshut l'shedim k'damar pesachim. V'apur aniyut mukhanim. And therefore on that day, because Mars is influenced in the even hour of the day, you have a double negative. You have Mars plus the even hour. You don't want to take Hakazah at that time, because Chas v'Shalom it causes him a sakana. Now that she explains this. Shatzam Hankal. You have over here seven different planets. Again, Rashi will explain to them. Seder Hasha'ot Kishenitlu HaMe'orot VeHaMazalot, which is when God created the world. On Wednesday, He created the sun. So, at each hour of the day, starting on Wednesday, a different constellation influences the world. There are seven of them. And they consecutively repeat. It's the same cycle. Every hour, another constellation is on top that influences the world. So that she says, Sha'ari Shuna Shil Dalet B'Shabbat, which means, on Tuesday night of creation, the first hour, Shimesh Shabbatai, Saturn was influencing the world. U'B'Shinia Tzedek, the second hour was Jupiter. V'Acharav Ma'adim, and then Mars. That's Shatzam. Shabbatai Tzedek Ma'adim. V'acharav Hama. And then the sun, that's Hama. V'acharav Noga. Then Venus. V'acharav Kochav. And then Mercury. So that is V'acharav Levana. And then the moon. So that's Hankal. So that was the order that they started to influence the world. Now, Nimse'u, Zayin HaMazalot LeZayin HaShaot. Right? Every 7 hours, you're influenced by 7 constellations. VeChozrim Halila LeOlam. And they just keep on following that pattern every hour. So now that she gives us what comes out. Nimsa beseder ze, according to this pattern, le'olam simanim mazalot hamshameshim b'tchilat lele ha'shavua. If you want to now make a chart to know the beginning of each night of the week, meaning Motzei Shabbat, Sunday night, Monday night, the first hour of each night of the week, which constellation is influencing? So that she tells us it's Katznash Halam. Those are now the days of the week. Meaning, Motzei Shabbat Sha'arishona Shelo, on Saturday night, the first hour of the night, Kochav. It's starting with Mercury. Techilat Lel Sheni, Sunday night, the first hour is Tzedek, etc. Vechen Besedr Azeh. Now, V'seder techilat simane hayamim, if you want to know the beginning of each day of the week, meaning Sunday morning the first hour, Monday morning the first hour, halam katznash. So the order is halam katznash. Sha'ari shuna she'lehad b'shabbat, the first hour on Sunday morning, hama is the sun. V'shel sheni b'shabbat, Monday morning the first hour is levana, is the moon. V'shel shelishi b'shabbat, ma'adim. Ah, on Tuesday, Mars starts off in the first hour. Now, if it starts off in the first hour, that means it's also going to influence in the eighth hour. Because every 7 hours, they repeat. So we have on Tuesday, Mars in an even hour, which is dangerous. Vihi zugot, and that is dangerous. Now, even though, if you figure out this chart, Mars will also be on an even hour on Mondays and Thursdays. But it doesn't matter, because Mondays and Thursdays, anyway, we said, one should not let blood anyway. So we don't have to worry about Mondays and Thursdays. Furthermore, you have to be concerned, on Friday, Mars also comes in an even hour. So the Gemara now asks, and we go back to the Gemara. Ma'ale Shabbata name kaima bezuve. What do you mean? On Friday, where you told me it's okay to let blood, Mars also comes out in the sixth hour on Friday, which is an even hour. Or is it that she says, Sha'are Sha'ari Shuna Shel Yom Noga, on Friday, hour one is Venus. The fiyas said that Shalom Katznash Tarat Tamim Vechemet Shadon Noga VeSeder Alichatam Shatzan Hankan. They're following the order of Shatzan Hankan. Nimsum Atchayim Nazarim B'Shari Viyit Nimsam Ma'adim B'Shashishit. Exactly, which means Mars is going to be in the sixth hour on Friday. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, Kevan de dashu berabim shomer petayim Hashem. Since it became the practice where everybody does it, God protects the fools, which means people got accustomed to let blood on Fridays. Why? Because we just learned that you're supposed to have a siruda after bloodletting. Everybody has a big meal on Friday night. So therefore the custom was to let blood on Friday, and immediately you go into the Sirudav Shabbat, even though Friday is an ominous day. But the Gemara says, since so many people are doing it, Shomer Petayim Hashem, Bore Olam gives the special protection to to the people that do it on Friday.
Amar Shemuel, Shemuel taught, Dalid, Wednesday, Dehava, Dalid, which means, if the fourth day of the month falls out on a Wednesday, or Dalid, Dehava Arbisar, or if Wednesday falls out on the 14th of the month, Dalid, Dehava Islim Barba'ah, or if Wednesday falls out on the 24th of the month, Dalid, or Wednesday, Deleka Arba Batre, if at the end of the month, the Wednesday that there's not four more days to the month, for example, falls out on the 27th, where you don't have, let's say, 4 days after it, Sekanta, Sakana to do bloodletting on that day. So it seems there are certain times as well where bloodletting is acceptable or not. Rosh Chodesh v'Sheni lo Chulcha. The first day of Rosh Chodesh and the second day of the month, if one bloodlets, it brings weakness. Shlishi lo Sakana. The third day of the month, dangerous. Ma'ale yom ataba chulcha. Erev yom tov, if one lets blood, weakness. Ma'ale yom ada atzarta. Erev yom tov of Shavuot, sakanta. That's already dangerous. Begazu rabbanan akuleu ma'ale yom ataba, mishum yom ataba de atzeret. And the rabbis made a gezerah not to let blood on any Erev yom tov, lest you come to let blood on Erev Yom Tov of Shavuot. Why? Denafik bezika. Because on Erev Shavuot there's a certain wind. Vishme Teboah. And the name of the wind is called Teboah, which means to slaughter. The lo kiblu Yisrael Torah. Because if the Jews would not have accepted the Torah on Shavuot, hava tabach lehu libsarayu, that wind would have came and slaughtered their flesh and their blood. So therefore, not proper to do anything with blood on Erev Shavuot, lest you become subject to that wind that seems is circulating.
Amar Shemuel. Shemuel taught, Achal chita, if a person ate wheat, ve'ekiz dam, and then he went and let blood, lo ekiz eda le'ota chita. That letting blood only benefited to get rid of that chita that he ate. Which means, if he wants to do bloodletting right after he ate, so it's only going to just heal him from what he just ate. Ve'hani midi derfu'ah. Yeah, that's if you're doing it for medicinal purposes. Don't do it right after you eat, because it's only going to benefit you to heal you from the last meal. Aval le'akule, if you're doing it because you have a lot of blood and you just want to lighten up the blood load, make it, then already it doesn't matter when you do it, it's okay. Hamekiz dam, a person lets blood, shatya le'altar, he should drink immediately. Achla, or achila ad hatzimil, but he shouldn't eat until the time it takes to walk half a meal. So drinking is immediate and eating is a little later. Ibayelu the Gemara has a question. Shetia le'altar ma'aleh. Yeah, you tell me that if you drink immediately, it's beneficial. Aval batar achi kasher. Do you mean to say that after immediate, it's not good for you? Or dilma lo kasher velo ma'aleh. Or maybe just saying it's pav, meaning it's not beneficial and it's not detrimental. Tiku, Gemara leaves that in the bahans for Eliyahu Navi. Ibaya lehu. Gemara has a similar question. Achila ad chatzi mil. You said that you shouldn't eat until half a meal's distance of time. Hu dekamale. That's beneficial. Ha batar ache. But after that time, umekameach, or before that time, kashe, is it detrimental? Or dilma lo kashe velo maale? Or maybe we'll say it's neither detrimental or beneficial. Tiku. Gemara leaves that in a Tiku as well for the Awa Navi. Machriz Rav. Rav now made an announcement. And he said, Me'a kare bezuzah. Which means, if in the market they're selling 100 gourd or 100 squash for a zuz, that's a good deal. Buy it. Me'areshe bezuzah. 100 heads of animals for a zuz, buy it. Me'asefameh velo kelum. But if they're selling 100 lips of the animals, velo kelum, it's not worth it. It's not worth anything. So why? Because kind of the lips are not, they're not nutrition. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Ki havinan be Rav Huna, he says, when we were in the Bet Midrash of Rav Huna, Yoma de mifagre be Rabbanan. That day the rabbis were lazy, and they came late to the Bet Midrash. Amar Amre, ha'idana yoma disfamehu. They said, today must be the day of lips. And we didn't know what they were talking about. What were they talking about? So that she tells us that since the Talmidim came late to the Beit HaMidrash, they were saying, there's no value to today. It's like a guy eating lips. There's no value to eating it. And therefore, they would call the day when the rabbis, let's say, came late to their learning, Yoma Lipte, Yoma Disfame. That's the way that she learns. Tosfot has a different interpretation from Rabbeinu Hananel. And he understands like this. He says that the custom was in the olden days where the barbers used to also let blood. And he says that when you used to pay, let's say, the barber, so you pay him a certain amount, so they would also give you the haircut, and they would also let blood for you. And then they would do the safam. The safam is the mustache. The mustache they would do for free. So therefore the guy had a right to come back another day, and they would trim his mustache for free. So therefore he says, which means you don't get charged for the mustache. So that's what happened in the Beit Midrash that day. The Beit Midrash, when the rabbis came late, they said, it's worthless. Just like the barber doesn't make any money on the mustache, because already they paid him for before. So the same thing over here, it's a worthless day. That's the way that Tosafot learns from Rabbeinu Hananel. In any event, the Gemara says, Amre, I don't say Rabbeinu, V'koshina Tabur. We learned in our Mishnah that on Shabbat, if a child is born, Tanakama said it is permissible to tie the umbilical cord. Tanu Rabbanan, have a brighter. Koshrin atabur. Tanakama says you can make a knot on the umbilical cord. The Biyose Omer af chotchin. You can even cut it. Vitomni nashilya. They used to have a custom, a segula, where they would bury the placenta, kedei sheyeham havalad, in order that the child becomes warm. Again, there's no scientific evidence to prove this, but the custom in the olden days was after the child was born, they would take the placenta, bury it in the ground, and that would cause the child to become warm. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Benot Melachim Tumnot B'Sefalim Shel Shemen. On Shabbat, where you can't put it in the ground because you can't dig, so on Shabbat it says the daughters of the kings, meaning the princesses, they would take the placenta and put it in a bucket of oil. Benot Ashirim B'Sfugim Shel Tzemer. The daughters of the rich people, they would put it in in bundles of, let's say, tzemer of wool. Benot aniim, the poor girls, bimuchin, and we just cover the placenta in rags. Amar of Nachman, Amar Ababar Abu, Amar Rab, Hanacha could be Yosef. That says what? Not only could you tie the placenta, but you could also cut it on Shabbat. Amar of Nachman, Amar Ababar Abu, Amar Rab, Modim Hakamim Rabbi Yosef. The rabbis who say normally you can't cut the placenta on Shabbat agree to Rabbi Yosef betabur shel shnei tinokot shechotchim. When you have twins and they're attached to the same placenta, so twins, you're allowed to cut the placenta on Shabbat. Seems that they pull away from each other and that can cause a sakana, so therefore they allow the umbilical cords to be cut. Ve'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Abu, Amar Rav, Kol la'amud beparashat tochecha, osin lechaya b'shabbat. There is a perek in Yechezkel, perek tet zayin, pasuk dalet, where Yechezkel gives a rebuke to Bnei Yisrael. He's reminding them of all the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them from the time they came out of Egypt. And he's going to compare the Jewish people to a baby that was not tended to and didn't have any of the proper procedures done to it, and then God came and saved them. Now, from this pasuk, we're going to learn that whatever Yechezkel used in his mashal to show us how we were before we left Egypt, and he compared us to a child giving being born, so all those items we learned must be necessary items to do to a child. And therefore, in all his examples, become permissible to do on Shabbat. Now let's see the pasuk. Shnei Emar. Umoldotayich, and the day you and the one that gave birth to you, biyom uledet otach, on the day they bore you, lo charat sharech, they did not cut sharech, which we'll see what that means. That must be the umbilical cord. Umayim lo ruhach, you weren't washed in water, lemishet, to smoothen your skin, vehumleyach lo umlachta, you were not salted, vehutchel lo hutalt, nor were you swaddled. Now the Gemara is going to explain each item. And the Gemara starts, Umolotayich biyom uledet, on the day that you were born, mikan shmiyaledim etavalad b'shabbat. Number one, we learn over that it's permissible to help a lady give birth on Shabbat. Lo charat sharech, mikan shechotkin etabur b'shabbat. From here we see you can cut the umbilical cord on Shabbat. Ubemayim lo ruhatz lemishoe, and you weren't washed in water to smoothen your skin, mikam shirochatzim avalad b'shabbat. From here we see you washed the child on Shabbat. Vehumlach lo humlacht, and you were not salted, mikam shemolchin avalad b'shabbat. You could salt the child on Shabbat. It seems they used to put salt on the baby's flesh in order to harden the skin. So therefore that would be permissible on Shabbat as well. Vehuthal, or vehuthel lo hutalt, mikan shelemlafifin avalad b'shabbat, that you're able to swaddle the child on Shabbat. What does that mean? You take a blanket and they wrap the child around in order to keep his body straight. This is different than what we learned earlier, asubei yenuka. Asubei yenuka, we learned, is if the body, if the bones are dislocated, so it's permissible to put the bones back. And there we had a machloket, if it's permissible or not. Here everybody's saying it's mutar. You're putting a blanket around the child in a way where it keeps the body straight. So the Gemara is saying that is permissible as well. Hadrach, Adran, Adach, Mefanim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, Amen.